Let's pick back up at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll pick back up at verse 10. I believe we covered that, but we'll just go back and kind of get a background, a running start. And we found out Paul is addressing another issue yet in Corinth. And this is a and he's really getting into the order of the assembly. The previous problems dealt with how individuals were handling each other or mishandling each other. And now he's getting into the order of the assembly. And in Corinth, we did give a little background as once they had gotten saved, you know, we talk about being one in Christ. We talk about there's no difference. And sometimes you can take that to a level that God didn't intend to be on that level. Where you say, well, if there's no difference, then it wouldn't make a difference whether a woman ruled or led the services or not. And especially coming from Corinth, where they were more aggressive, more open, that could have been an issue where they'd say, wait, we're on the same level in Christ. And the gospel, contrary to what people believe, Paul had, when he lays down that information, he's given women a right and a privilege that they never experienced before. They were considered, they were subservient to the man in that culture. But here's Paul. He says, look, you're equal. You're one in Christ. That's good news for if you've been squashed. And then he takes those, even though they're coming with their culture, if you were aggressive already and you find out that I'm free, there's no difference. Well, I'm free to be me. Okay. And he says, wait a minute. In here, there's an order. When I say in here, in the body. And when you come into this local assembly, being a new creation in Christ, there's an order, and he lays that down. He says in verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. He has to lay that. That's the natural order. He has to lay that down. You can faintly see that here. He lays that down first. That's a natural order that God has ordained. And that's whether, even though he's addressing believers, that's whether they're believers or not. That's just the man is over the woman, period. But in particular, for believers, you know, that's one thing we have to remember, too, is when Paul's writing, he's addressing believers. He's expecting us to do what?
Read.
To read. He's expecting us to have a spirit to adhere to this information. You know, he's expecting that. But you say by grace, you always have the opportunity to do what? Reject it. Today, it's no different. Is even though he's writing to believers and he's expecting believers to adhere to the word of God, if you don't want to do something, you will always have the opportunity to reject it. When you read, you have to think of this, that God is talking to me. When we started off, he says to the Thessalonians, he says, I thank God when you receive the word that you heard of us. Mm-hmm. When you receive the word that you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, Which effectually worketh in you that hear. That believe. He didn't say you that hear, you that quote. He says you that believe. Nobody's exempt from that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's on Thursday we have very intimate meetings on Thursday, so we talk on a different level, and it's all men, so we talk about marriage and things like that, and this, and I always have to tell them is when you go to Ephesians and he calls in the man, the door's closed. When I say the door's closed, it's like a closed room meeting where he comes in, Blake, and he says, this is your job. You can leave now. Jenny, this is your job. Don't even bring him up. I'm talking to you. That way your accountability is to who? To God, right. Children, when the children come in, same thing. Servants, same thing. It's you serve the Lord Christ. We'd like to do this. Well, if Louise had done this, then I would have. You do this unto the Lord.
Your position.
You have to think that this is God asking me this personally with no contingency on the next person. But we always find when Adam sinned, you know what first thing he said?
You gave it to me.
He asked her, you know what she said?
Snake.
It's nobody's fault. But he put the man in charge, and he said, "What is it that thou hast done? Thou." That's singular. And he said, "Well," he didn't say, "Lord, I blew it." He said, "It's her fault." She said, "It's his fault." And when he got down to the servant, I did it. Well, he didn't say that. But anyway, I got far off on that. It's the order is there, and you have to. If you don't see it as God speaking to you, you're gonna have a problem with some things. You're always gonna run into the issue because naturally we're selfish people. We like to do things the way we like to do them, and we like to do things that we want to do, whether it's in contradiction to a direct commandment or no. So he reminds them, he's laying down the order first, and he says the head, and this is, we talked about that, is there's no life without the head. There's no activity without the head. Should not be. At least not controlled. It's always, if you have spasms or seizures, it's because the message from the head is not getting to the body. So you might, why is he jumping like that? Well, I don't know. There's a communication error. So when you see people acting out of order, you know that they've what?
Communication.
There, something went between the head and the members. Something went wrong. And we used to use that as a body analogy, but it's also, we talked about head as a governmental term. When you see, the first thing I thought about was El Chapo. When you see a man that can dig out of a cell and ride a motorcycle a mile long in a tunnel, and nobody knows. Something went wrong in that government. Somebody, you you got to know that somebody's digging a mile-long tunnel.
Yeah.
So, and they probably, some corrupt members helped him out, like just like the other jailbreak that just happened. So there's something went wrong. So there's no difference. You know, just thinking of that is when you talk about the very basic. I went out there, now I have to keep going. When you talk about this whole thing is you got the heaven and earth, right? There are governments that run these two institutions. One step down from that, you have. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Once I thought y'all were going to help me out with this.
Don't know where you're going.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But one step up, just drew this. This is for the heaven. Little cloud here is heaven. This circle here is earth, right? They're parallel to each other. When you go down from here, the next step. I didn't hear you. Oh, okay. The next step down is. I'm thinking of something I can draw on here. The governments. What do you call the national governments?
Show the branches.
No, like you have.
You have federal,
like,
state.
Just countries. Like you have countries, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. Like countries have rules, and like our country has rules and things that we follow. I'm just drawing this for distinction. And then you go down to, you have countries, you have states, you have locals, you have, well, this is, what makes up, yeah, you have families, you have couples, and then you have individuals. What's that?
Then you have Karen and Louise.
No, this is anything. Just any. But this is the whole thing rests on the what? The individual. Because you can't have a. Right. You can't have a strong couple if you have a weak. You can't have a strong family. If you have a weak couple, you can't have a strong local, and I'm thinking of more like the local assembly. You can't have a local strong local assembly if you have a weak, because that's who's coming to the local assembly. Individuals. The whole thing, it goes way out here. So those are things that. So God addresses the problem where? At the source, on the individual level. You know what we, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We have issues in all these areas because the problem, no doubt, is you. Okay. So back to, we're stuck on the order, but we back to the order. He gives the order for the proper setting down the rule for the proper function of the local assembly. Verse 4, but every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. for that is even all one as if she were shaven. He said in that setting, if she was to insist on prophesying, he said, just go ahead and shave your head. And if it's a shame for a woman to shave her head, then it's a shame for her to continue to speak. Right. And Gerald brought that out last week, is at the, well, at that time, it was either two things. She was either a harlot or he, did you say feminist? I don't think he said feminist. He used
enough. I said feminist.
Feminist? Okay.
You said usurper, didn't you? Women live.
Yeah, right. So either one. Still, it's still out of order. So he says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn or shaven. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. You know, he's really asking questions that they would have to agree with him. He's disarming the opposition. You know, that's one of the things that we are so far down the line now, is you can't go in the logical order like that now, because there's the foundation is not strong. They don't believe the word of God. So if you appeal to the word of God, then you will have a strong argument. But if the final authority is not considered an authority, then there's no, because now they said, well, what's wrong with two loving people together?
What's that say? If the foundation be
destroyed,
yeah,
what shall the righteous do? So you have to, that's why I said he's talking to believers, but even now, believers are not believers. When I say that, they always find a loophole in the word of God. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, well, that was Paul. Paul said that.
Paul ain't right.
And Paul's not Jesus.
Or Paul's a misogynist.
Or Paul's a misogynist. A hater of women. Or Paul's a chauvinist.
Mm-hmm. I got a problem.
So, but where is Paul getting his information from? So you have to believe that. You have to believe in inspiration to hold that argument. Because otherwise you'll think that that's Paul. Paul wrote that. And that's, we were talking about the breakdown of, this is the individual. Individuals make up a couple. A couple makes a family. A family goes, makes up the local assembly. A local assembly is, all these make up a state, or the people in the state, country, and then ultimately you have the earth, where people, the breakdown is, it goes down and you end up with the individual. If you have a weak individual, all this has to be weak. So when God comes to redeem us, that's when he saves us, his whole idea is for a better rule in both places. What this, I think we talked about this last week, all these things down here is give you a chance to perfect it.
Down here.
It's like a dress rehearsal. We're a ways off that. See, if I can't get you right, your marriage is not going to be right. Agree with that? If I can't get that marriage right, your house ain't going to be right. Don't tell me about your kids. I don't have any. But I know this. If you messed up, now I can't say this. Don't tell me about her. If you messed up, you know why the local assembly, all the problems in the local assembly? Because you there. I'm there. Am I right?
We messed up.
If you don't have a transformed mind, We're going to find out. When they came together, when the church came together, if they didn't have a transformed mind, they did what they wanted to do. And Paul said, when you come together, he said, I can't praise you for that. He said, you did good in some other areas, but this, when you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Well, who's coming together?
A bunch of individuals with a
carnal mind, not transformed. He said, verse 6, he said, let her be shorn, and if it be a shame for her to be shorn, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. So he puts the man there as the glory of God. He's God's representative. I didn't say that. Well, I said that, but I didn't make that order. Did I? Is it in your Bible? Okay. He said the man is the glory of who? Of God. He put the man in the leadership position. Remember what we said last week when we were closing out? It says, what a man wants to do and be at home. Let me see if she remembers this. Because you benefit from this.
No,
you heard it. I said it.
I heard the tape.
A man wants, he wants you to believe what? He wants to be what to you? I said, he wants to be your, you remember what? Jenny. I said, the man, he wants to be your superhero.
Yeah,
your
protector.
He wants, you know what, when you see him, he wants you to say, you know what, there's nobody like Blake.
Right.
he wants you to lift him up. Mm-hmm. Not tear him down. I like what you said. If you tell a man, you know what? Say what you said last week.
Oh man, you remember
See?
What I said?
I'm not the only one. you were here.
If a woman, you know, says to her husband, "Baby, you can do anything.
Yeah.
You are awesome. Man, there's nobody like him. He could be nothing, but boy, when she gets finished telling him, he's everything.
You know what?
Seriously.
Hey, you know what? He gonna go.
You know, act like it. That's true, because before we started our business, I didn't have faith in all I studied and prepared for it. But once she told me those things, I believed then. It came. I don't know what it was. It just came.
It's, you know what? It's a. That's a right. It's a help. Help meet.
Work together.
Now, work together. Right. Now, when he places the man in that position, he says he's the glory of God, because God has entrusted the man to the government. Whether it's all those stages, mm-hmm. He's entrusted that to the man. I know. You know what? When you say that, that's why I said you have to think about the final authority. When you say that for the women, I'm not a woman, but when you say that to a woman, and if she's listening, you know what? In her mind, I just believe this, that she's saying, I don't believe that. I don't believe that just men can rule.
Oh, no,
am I right?
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, no, he didn't say that. Do you get that feeling?
Especially in today's society. I mean,
I know how natural. I am, and I don't want no woman ruling.
It's 2015. We've progressed.
For better
words. We progress socially, but we've digressed spiritually.
Yeah.
Now you're going to say when I said.
Well, I was just going to say that, and just thinking in personal terms, you know, if a man was submitted to the Lord, mean, I couldn't ask for any better than that. And I could gladly submit to that, but I know that man would put the Lord first. And as long as he's putting the Lord first, I'll be taken care of.
But, you know, not only that.
That's right.
That man is supposed to serve his woman outside of himself first.
That's
That's the order.
Right. Listen. That's one of the things that when in Ephesians chapter 5, when God tells the man, he says, husbands, and we're going to, he said, love your wives. Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to digress for a minute here. That's, well, he does say that.
Because he don't tell us to love you guys.
But he does. He does tell you to love him.
But it's like, when you receive love, you want to give it back.
Yeah.
Like, if you're being beaten down and trodden, you're going to develop a hatred towards this person.
Right. Now, keep that in mind, and we're going to look at that then, look at Peter after that, 1 Peter. He said this, Ephesians chapter 5, he says this, 21. You know, most of us, we jump right on down to the later verses. But he says, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the what?
Fear.
In the fear of God. Where, who's your attitude directed to?
Lord.
In God. So if I had a proper attitude towards God, guess what I'll do? I'm going to submit myself to you. Now, listen. Right after that, he says the husband is the head. How can you be the head and yet submit? The same way he washed his disciples' feet. Okay, watch this. That's right, because what he does, our idea of headship is not God's idea of headship.
Not like the Greeks.
It's not like a ruler over somebody.
Right, like a tyrant, or, you know what, this is my house, this way we do it.
So in other words, you become the biggest servant.
You become the biggest servant in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest lover in the house. And when they love, when you love, whatever they ask you, you know what? They'll want to do it.
You know, I said this a while ago, and I know I had to hear it from somebody, but basically I remember at the old church they try to beat you into giving. But naturally, if a person falls in love with Christ, giving is going to come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It will.
That's what Felix was saying about the law, and you know how that's like, you do this, you do that, you do this, and there's no love in it. And it's kind of like when you get married, if a man says, okay, well, these are my house rules, we're going to do this, this, and this, and he said, you know, well, then the woman's going to come right around and say, well, if those are your rules, these are my rules, so you're going to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to do this, this, and that. And there's no love in that. And then that's why we don't have to have the law now, because we have the grace of God and there's love, and we want to do these things and we want to follow the law without following the law. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you'll do the yes, you'll do things he wants out of love, not obligation.
So it's
right, and it's the principle is love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, look, he said this, wives, submit yourselves, 22, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He says that first, wives, he calls them in the room, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, you know what, it's a period after that. He's done. So what is that's for you to contemplate. Don't tell me about Blake or the man you get. Don't tell me about that. That's the end of the sentence. You go wrestle with that. I don't want to do that, because he, as unto what?
The Lord.
He said, when he asks you something, just pretend that I'm standing there.
So it ain't that.
Now tell me
what you're doing.
You're telling Jenny, I want you to do this. I'm not doing that. Just pretend you put the Lord there and you say to him, I'm not doing that. That's how we are because we don't think that it's unto the Lord.
You know what I found out? There are some things in the Bible that God calls us to do that is countercultural to our flesh, you know?
Some things.
And I'm supposed to love my wife even if she's unloving. I'm supposed to serve her when she's undeserving. That's.
But you turn around and you serve her and you love her and you watch how she turns around the world.
Yeah, but Jesus said these words. He said, if you only love those who love you,
right.
Don't change.
And here, that's right. That's right.
This doesn't change you.
Yeah. Now, this is a bigger. Remember, we talked about this. This is a bigger. It's what?
It's tight, but it's right.
Oh, right. It's right. But it's, again, the marriage, we talked about this, the Marriage Institute is just a microcosm of God's relationship with the church. So you think about it, are you, as believers, are you always subject to the Lord? Are you always subject to the Lord? I saw Jenny. She shook her head. Yeah, you a rare case.
Right.
When I say, are you always? Do you always do what the Lord wants you to do? Do you always
cognizant
when I mess up?
Do you always? Let me say it where we can get it. Do you always do what the Lord wants you to do?
Probably not.
I would say emphatically no.
So, what did he do? And like Gerald said, what did he do for the church?
He died.
He loved us.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the
ungodly.
Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Prearranged for a good man, some would even dare to die. So, like you said, when you are undeserving, when Paul said, when you are enemies in your mind by wicked works, he did it. He died for sinners. Now, he said this.
Of whom I am chief.
Yes.
So this goes for church member in the church. Family member, co-worker on the job, mm-hmm. a boss.
He don't miss it. Look at the next verse. He says, "For verse 23, for the husband is the head of the 5:23 is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And here's where it gets thick. And he is the savior of the body. So if he's giving a comparison, he said, you married, brother? You.
Me?
Yeah.
No,
okay. Something to think about. That's you know what? You know what? We do this. We pick off external. You know what? He's a nice looking guy. Got a good job. Or she looks good. Oh, you know what?
She can cook.
But
she can touch you.
What you should be looking at for potential, any potential prospect is underneath. Mm-hmm. You're looking for the spiritual attributes.
First,
he says, verse 23, Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Do you know you're the Savior of your house? The head, you're the Savior. If you got family and members under you, you're supposed to be the Savior to them. And you need, you know, in order to function like that, you need to find out what the Savior did. He said, if you, he wouldn't be a Savior if they didn't have problems. If they didn't need saving. He said, verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in the things they like.
Everything.
In some of the things.
Everything.
In most of the things.
Everything.
In what?
Everything. All of it.
That don't mean that. Nah, yes, you know what? That's, when you hear that,
everything.
Okay.
Everything.
But like Karen said, if I'm the Savior, I'm not going to put you in a predicament. If I've given everything I could give you up front, why would I? Look, Paul said this in Romans. He said, if while we were, if while we were sinners, that Christ he reconciled us by the death of his Son, he said, much more now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And he said, listen, if I put you in a position to come to me when you were a sinner, now that you are reconciled to me, mm-hmm. what do you think I won't do?
Not freely give you all things.
Let me put it on a personal level here.
That's
look,
interesting.
If I was, and this might be a bad example because we fall off on this. If I treated you nice before I got you, now that I got you, what is it that I won't do for you? That's where it should be. Usually we get them and say, oh, well,
work's done.
The hard part is over, and then we start neglecting them. But that's not God's intention. And he said, Ephesians 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why did he do that? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Now,
what did he say about the children?
See that? He weighed down on the children. You in the room. You're in the room right now. And he got you. He said, he gave you some verbs in there. Sanctify. Nourish. Cherish. And that's what I told the guys. I said, have you ever read that passage? Have you ever read that passage? I read it, but I never read it. Well, before I read it, I read it.
You didn't digest it.
But I didn't digest it. I didn't ruminate on it. I didn't marinate on it.
I think mine was more like the husband to the children.
That's what?
The same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it's all part of it is you're the provider.
Like the trickle down effect.
It's because, like I said, if bad head.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I said, if the husband is not right, then the wife is not right. And if the wife is not right, then the kids is not right. Mm-hmm.
How can they be?
I think, how do we consider right? What are we saying right? Are we talking about behavior, or are we talking about spiritual?
Spiritually. Well, okay. You know what? That's the thing is, you can't separate doctrine from practice. You can, but the Lord doesn't. The reason he gives you doctrine is so that you might function properly. That's why when Paul said this, I would have you to know this to the Corinthians. They're out of order. He says, I would have you to know this. What is he saying?
Put it in practice. Don't just listen to it. Let it come out of you, in your understanding.
Why do you have procedures? Mm-hmm. You got jobs. Why do you have procedures on your job
for a determined outcome?
For a determined outcome, not for you to read it and say, "Okay, that's a good idea," and then go ahead and do what you want to do. So he says, like I said, those verbs in there: nourish, cherish, sanctify. That's what he said, that he might present it to himself. You know what? What does that sound like? What is she doing while you doing the nourishing and the cherishing and the sanctifying? What is she doing?
Submitting. Responding.
She receiving. All of that.
Paying it forward.
Growing.
And you know what? That's what all of that is. Nourishing. Nourishing means what?
Growing. Give it life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Feeding. Mm-hmm. Cherishing, we get the word cherish from, well, you know what? We're like a chick. You know where you've seen a chicken that sit on the egg? That warmth? What's going on? What's going on there? It's protection. It's warmth. It's something's going right. All that
protection.
Is grooming that chick and that egg. And you won't get her off. You ever try to get a chick off the roost, a hen off the roost? Yeah. My grandmother had chickens. We used to go when we visited down south. She had chickens, and every once in a while, she'd say, "You know, go check and see if it's any eggs in there. If it is, get them before, you know, you don't want them to lay too long because their intention is to hatch." Yeah. So every day you have to go out there, and when you go up there, they're pecking all over the place, and you have to grab them, lift it up, and if you got eggs in there, you got to grab them. Sometimes I would grab them, you could feel them. They were how warm they were. Yeah. And you're thinking, we going to eat these? It's babies in here. But you don't crack it in the little bird in there. It was still yolk. But she was cherishing those eggs. So, you know what?
Well, even the word charity isn't about the truth working effectually in someone else.
That's right.
The best for the other person.
Right. Charity, right, that's where we get it, is you're giving what the other person needs.
That's why charity is the greatest.
So he says, verse, well, for James, he said, chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, mm-hmm. provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. There's that form of nourishment. The nurture and what? Mm-hmm. Admonition of the Lord. It's not only nourishing them, but it's warning them too. Mm-hmm. So, and provoke them not to wrath. It's when we grew up, my father died when I was younger, so my sister knew him more than I did. And I would recall she would say things like, he said he was coming over to pick us up, but he never showed up. You know what that brings? Anger in children. Wrath. Provoke them to wrath. Making promises you don't keep.
Mm-hmm.
Treating them bad. You know what? Neglecting them. And today, to this day, my sister's in her 50s, and she'll make statements. I'll say, hey, you that stuff hangs around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? You see these people with these issues and relationships, and you don't have to look too far. You know what? You can see how you got a date or you potential. Check her mother out.
Mm-hmm.
Check her father out. Because you're getting that. You're getting the relationship between them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Whether good or bad,
baggage.
Whatever that, right? You know what? And she getting yours too.
Mm-hmm.
The knowing that is half the battle. Knowing the baggage you bring, and knowing the Lord is a winning combination, because you could bring those things into captivity to Christ. You can renew your mind when you know what you're dealing with.
Wasn't a lot of what they, I mean, when he's talking about marriage and stuff, I mean, all these people were believers. So it's not just like, you know, someone who believes and someone who don't, like nowadays. So that even makes it harder, because, I mean, you can follow, you know, by the letter, and, you know, if you're dating the wrong person or marry the wrong person, then all of a sudden, you know, not saying that won't help and rub off on them, but they might not. You know, they're not on the same page as you.
Right. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, that's... Wow.
That's before 2 Peter, right?
First... that's before 2 Peter.
The first of the Bible, you think.
1 Peter chapter 3, right? Matter of fact, yeah, 1 Peter 3, then back to Titus. But he said this. Now, like Blake said, you can marry, if you marry unbelievers... Now, first thing is, that's why you don't, if you are a believer, you don't marry
person that's
unequally yoked. Right.
When your father-in-law is the devil, you're going to have
to. Because when you know what? There's a two-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
Because your head is telling you to do this, her head is telling her to do this, or vice versa. You're subject to your father, she's subject to hers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know what? That's what the Lord said in Romans. He said, the carnal mind is what?
Enemy.
Is an enemy to God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you can have a believer, if they have a carnal mind, you may as well be living with an unbeliever. Because you make an appeal to the Word of God, and you know what they're going to say? Psst. Psst. All right. I don't want to hear that church stuff. What's that? I don't have faith, whatever the excuse is, right? Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Do you see this principle of headship going throughout here? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, won by the conversation of the wives.
That's power.
Now,
that's power.
This is a situation that already exists. Don't go out and do that and try to live that verse. You might be waiting a long time. But listen, he said this. They also, what's the next word? Verse 1, that And you wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may not will, may be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting and of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God, great price.
That does not mean a daddy and wife beating you.
That's
saying, go to church, go to church.
That's right. You know what?
I'm going to turn somebody away real quick with that.
That's what he. You know what the Lord is? He's saying, just be subject. Mm-hmm. Be the helpmeet. And when he sees you functioning in your role,
mm-hmm.
he's gonna say, you know what?
I want what she's got.
That guy must be real. Mm-hmm. She's been steady. You know, he said, verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. That's what Blake said, where, you know what? If he's not terrorized, when he comes in, if you're not terrorized, forced to do this or that, when he comes in, instead of going to embrace him, you running to hide. And the things that he asks, you are willing to do and not forced to do. That's why he said, if you are not afraid with any amazement. So you can be, well, that's abusive. You can be forced to obey. It just, you know, maybe never happened to you guys, but a lot of women are in abusive relationships mm-hmm. where they stay not out of love, out of fear. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not.
Sometimes men, it's rare, but
yeah.
Sometimes
men are. Sometimes, yeah, very rare, but it's right. And he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Mm-hmm. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And that's a big dwelling with them according to knowledge. Knowledge of what? All the stuff we just read is what your role should be towards her. To bring out the best in her. As the weaker vessel. That's why I was saying that you. There's. I'm not a woman. But I'm just going out on a limb here. Because I. Flesh. You're talking about flesh. Is. When somebody tells you. I'm the head. I'm over you. Your flesh naturally. Mm-hmm. Said. Wait a minute.
Nope. Men, because men do that with men.
That's why, right. So you know that the only thing that'll help you digest that is knowing that this is the Lord's order.
That's the only.
If you don't accept the Lord's order, you will never fully accept that position.
It's also how you look at it. It's like if you have somebody coming down on you as a dominator, then you're like, mm-mm. You know, you bow up on them. It's like, I ain't doing that. And then if they're coming down on you, not coming down on you, but they're kind of hovering over you as your protector, and they shower you with love, and they have your best interest at heart.
If there's love there, it's easier to be in your position.
Yeah, and then they tell you, I'm like, okay.
That's what he says. Dwell with them according to what?
Knowledge.
Giving.
To the weaker vessel.
Giving honor. as unto the, you know what? This, when you do that, you know what? You know what makes me want to do right? I'm gonna tell you what makes me. What makes me want to do right is when I think about what the Lord did for me, how much he gave me, how much honor he bestowed upon me. Is to take us from when we were sinners and give us a position, offer us a position, all these things we have in Christ up front. And then he says, now, I would love for you to work with me if you want to.
And then you're like, I'm going to make you proud.
How can you turn that down? Mm-hmm. So if you give honor like that to the wife, how can she turn you down? What will change her mind is knowledge. When she realizes, not only if you do that, not only the same thing that changes the man's mind is he sees the grace working in you. And you see the grace working in him, gradually it'll change.
Well, see, that's a principle of the kingdom. Because Jesus said, if a soldier, back in Jesus' days, soldiers, because they would occupy Jerusalem, a soldier could see a Jewish man and tell him, carry my bag. And that's why Jesus said, if somebody wants you to walk within 1 mile, he said, do it too. And you know, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, we still supposed to submit and love, irregardless if they do right or not. That's kingdom. You know, that's kingdom. What if you meet somebody, or what if you marry somebody, and they ain't gonna never act right? You still got to submit or love. That's the kingdom. They might not never do right. They might not never love you or respect you. They might not never do that. But the Bible, you still got to love them. You still got to respect them. And I think sometimes if we think it,
you sound like you try to convince yourself.
I think sometimes if we think that do all this, my wife or my husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no guarantee.
Right.
No guarantee. You got to do it in such a way that whether you get praise from him or not, but your Heavenly Father knows what you're doing in secret. And
do it under God.
See, well, you're doing it on the if then.
I was going to say, we don't do it because we're expecting to get something out of it, because that ain't love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do
right.
it because it's
unto the Lord.
So you're not doing it because you're looking for a set outcome, because that's Israel's program.
So you know what? After a certain point, if you don't see results, you shut down.
Yeah. But like the diagram you drew, it's like that's what the Lord wants, but that's not always how it goes.
That's not how it goes all the time,
like
right?
Kids,
but just
like,
because your spouse doesn't do their part doesn't get you off the hook.
Yeah, you shouldn't stop right here.
And sometimes, I know sometimes we talk about this and we don't add the reality to it. You know, and I think that's why it's so good to add the reality. Mm-hmm. I have still got to do my job. You know, you can go to work and have a boss just in the world. Why? Who gave this person this?
That's why. Give him a resignation letter.
Right, but you know what? This is all this. We're saying this, and we got to close in a minute here. Is we say this, but the thing is, it's what the Lord wants us to realize is
His order, huh?
Just it's order, but even on the, I can't expect you to carry out that if I don't have you. Mm-hmm. He wants you in whatever capacity. You say, well, I don't have a husband. That's fine, but you have family. You have, if you have a job, you have to do that. And if you don't have that, it's still you and the Lord.
No, he talked about Ephesians 6, bring in the bond service, a job.
That's not with eye service, but the thing is he wants you. It's bigger than us. I know we don't think it is, but it's bigger than us. He just wants you to work with him. And it just so happens that you have a husband. He wants you to work with him, and it just so happens that you have a job, or you have a wife, or you have a family. And he says, wherever you are, this is how I want you to function as mine. This is how you magnify me in this situation. I think Paul, we just got out of Corinthians where he said that the woman who's married, she thinks about the things, how she may please her husband. And the man thinks about how he may please his wife. But he said, I would have you without carefulness, full of care, that you may attend unto the Lord without distraction. What does that mean?
Don't,
well,
Jesus. Don't,
he said, I would that you were like that. That you may attend unto the Lord. What does that mean?
That means that the Lord is first.
Be about his business without getting distracted by these other things. But if you're in that situation, this is how I want you to operate in them.
Yeah. And even if you're single, you're going to have to submit to the Lord. I remember one day, an incident happened with me, and I felt like I was being wrong. I went on about my business. The Lord said to me, Gerald, go and apologize. I said, no. So whether you're married, single, there's things that will happen, come up, you have to submit to the Lord. I had to humble myself, go and apologize to the person. And that was the end. It was a humbling experience.
See, that's good. Because if, as long as you're alive, you're gonna have, no, I'm saying, as long as you're alive, you're gonna have an issue with that.
Right.
But if you realize that you're dead, if you're dead, they can do whatever they want to say. They can do and say whatever they want to you, because
that's the end goal, huh?
That is, yeah. He just needs you to line up with where you are.
Yeah, so he can kill me.
You dead. You are dead. He wants you to realize that.
Yeah, you already. Yeah.
So you know what? you can go wherever you go, and you not treat me right. As a believer, you know what? Paul said, why not suffer yourself to be defrauded? Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that. I'm not going to take that. But he said, well, wait a minute. When the Lord was standing before Pilate, and after they ridiculed and mocked him, and he says, what have you done? His aim was something much higher than where he was. He said, don't you know I have power to crucify you? Tell me what's going on. He's, Lord, standing right there, he said,
you have no power except what my Father gives you.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
He said, you got nothing but what my Father gives you. I can see Pilate. Are you a king or not?
You said, it's not in this world.
You say this on yourself, or did somebody tell you? He asked him, you know, can you pick this up on your own, or did somebody tell you that? You know what Pilate said? I'm done with
this guy.
It's too much.
Here.
Too much for me.
His wife having dreams about.
Anyway, we way off Corinthians, but we'll stop there, pick it back up next week, and finish out.
You know, when you were talking about.